Moncrief on News Talk.
As you know, our population has been steadily increasing, with all sorts of public facilities straining to keep up. Schools and the health service and our prisons. Ireland has one of the highest prison density rates in Europe. 110 prisoners for every 100 spaces. But rather than building more, is there an alternative to prison for at least some offenders? The Irish Penal Reform Trust has many such ideas. Saoirse Brady is Executive Director. Afternoon, Saoirse.
Good afternoon, John.
Why are our prisons so full or overfull?
I suppose back in July this year, we saw a record number of people in prison. So we've over 5,000 people in prison today. So the prison estate, as you mentioned, is running at about 112% capacity. So we don't have enough beds for the people that are currently in prison, which means that you have nearly half the people in prison having to share a cell with one other person. But very often you have people sharing with two or three other people. And keep in mind, people in prison cells also have to share toilets. And so we are seeing people sleeping on the floor of prison cells with mattresses that are wedged beside a toilet that their cellmates have to use as well. So there is a dignity piece there. But one of the reasons why we're seeing so many people in prison and seeing this overcrowding is that we are continuing to see people being sent to prison for short sentences, so for 12 months or less. And there's a notion out there that, you know, people may get the services that they require in prison, because very often people going to prison have experienced some sort of trauma in their lives. They may have an addiction issue and or a mental health issue, and they've reached crisis point and they've ended up in prison. But given the strain and the current strain on the Irish prison service, they're not able to avail of the services or supports that they might need to get around that. We also have a very high rate of people in pre-trial detention, or on remand, as we would more commonly know it. So at the moment, about 17% of the people in our prisons are on remand. So they haven't been convicted of an offence. And while some people may have to go to prison for a pre-trial detention because it might be a flight risk, or there's a fear that they might interfere in the court process in some way, intimidating witnesses, I imagine that's more in the minority, given the level of the number of people going to prison on short sentences for less serious non-violent offences.
Now, why is there such a high degree of, because it's something like 20% of people in prison are on remand. Why are they putting so many people on remand?
We don't know is the answer, because the court service don't have that data available to us. It's a question we've been asking quite a lot recently as well. But, you know, there are different reasons perhaps for it. So sometimes there might be a legitimate reason to hold people on remand. As I mentioned, there might be a flight risk. There might be, they might intimidate witnesses. There might be a chance that they would re-offend. But at the same time, like very often, we're in a cost of living crisis. Sometimes people can't afford bail. The reason why they ended up in prison in the first place might be because they couldn't afford things, or that they're in a very chaotic point in their lives. So being able to actually post bail can be problematic for people. And this is something we would love to see more research and data on, so we can really understand that and drill down into why that is happening.
Now, the current estimation is about the best part of 85 grand a year to keep someone in prison. Are there, in terms of looking at the alternatives, what are the best alternatives, particularly for people who are on, those short 6 months to a year sentences? What are the best alternatives in terms of reducing recidivism? Is putting someone in a cell for a year the best way of making sure they never offend again?
No, and all the evidence from elsewhere would demonstrate, and here as well in Ireland, that if you serve a sentence in the community, so you're still serving a sentence, you still have a record at the end of it usually, by carrying out community service, you are much less likely to re-offend in the future. And part of that is that if you are in employment, that you can retain that employment. If you are seeking services or supports, that you might be able to keep those up. But I suppose, you know, stable accommodation, we're in the middle of a housing crisis. So being able to keep a roof over your head, if you were sent to prison for a very short period of time, you were unlikely to keep the accommodation that you might have had. Although we are seeing an increase in people coming from homelessness into prison and then exiting again. But the golden thread to keep people from reoffending, and, you know, this is what all the evidence would show and all the different programs, there's been, you know, reports in the UK on this following the Strangeway riots in the 90s, is family contact. Being able to maintain or rekindle your family relationships and being able to have regular access with those family members who can support you. That is, you know, seen as one of the most effective interventions. When you go to prison, you get a 6-minute phone call. You do get some family visiting, but it is limited. And in fairness, the one thing COVID did do was open up some of the technology for people in prison to be able to have video calls for the first time. And some people prefer those, and, you know, they may be more child friendly sometimes. But at the same time, you know, a probation order or probation supervision costs in the region of $6,000 compared to that $84,000-$85,000 that you're talking about to keep somebody in prison for a year. And, you know, it costs us more in the long term as well, because if somebody is in the community, they're getting the supports they need, they're under probation supervision, they're less likely to reoffend, more likely to end up in employment, then they're less likely to reoffend and end up back in prison, costing more money in the future. So there is a longer term investment in this. So instead of all the talk of prison expansion, I would say, you know, if we're talking about expanding prison spaces by, I think, 1,100 by 2030, look at the remand population, and also look at government policy. Currently, current government policy is talking about reducing the number of people going to prison on sentences of 12 months or less. So I've mentioned probation there. Community service is, you know, one of the better ways to do this. It also is a benefit to the community. In 2022, it was about 2 million euro worth of work was done in communities all around the country by people who were sentenced to community service. And that could be, they might be doing community service for between 40 and 240 hours over the year. So, you know, there is a benefit here. And also it links people back into their community. Sometimes, you know, that integration piece, that piece where people feel they don't belong and may have led them down a path to offending, you know, that can help with that piece as well. So community service is one side that I think we would like to see more investment in budget 2025 into the probation service. One of the other things the probation service is doing at the moment, it's about to launch a plan on restorative justice. That's another element that works really well in the youth justice sector, actually. And this is where you bring together the offender, the person who has offended, who admits responsibility for having committed that offence, the victim, and a mediator. And the victim tells their story and tells the person who committed the offence, you know, how it made them feel, what impact it had in their life, what impact it had on their family. And the person listens. And, you know, again, internationally and in Ireland as well, it has been shown to actually reduce reoffending and, you know, to make links, you know. Rachel Lillis from the Probation Service was on another radio program quite recently and talked about an older couple who had been subject to theft by a young person. And when they brought them all together and they all explained how it made them feel and the reasons why it happened in the first place and all of that, they actually struck up a friendship, and the couple end up going to that young person's football matches now, you know. So I'm not saying that that would happen in every case, and it has to be by consent, and it has to be in appropriate circumstances, but there is a real benefit to it. And I've spoken to people serving very long sentences for very serious offences who say that, you know, they can now see, they reflected on what they have done, and they've looked at it through a restorative justice lens, and it's really helped them, you know, come to terms with what they did and turn their lives around. Mm. And they actually said they felt for victims, it could really make them, you know, get closure as well. So, like, there are benefits to that.
Yeah. And at the moment, Saoirse, if someone's up for, let's say, relatively minor crime, and they might get 6 months or a year for that, is this the, what options are before a judge when they're sentencing? Can they initiate community service or restorative justice or a combination of those? or really is prison the only option they have in most cases?
No, so in the district court, so that's usually where like the maximum sentence they can hand on is 12 months. So for those less serious offences, it is open to them. There is legislation. It's been there since 1983. There was an amendment in 2011. So they are meant to consider community service instead of a prison sentence. Mm. Part of the issue at the moment is, and it was working quite well when it first came in 2011. And up until kind of the, you know, we were seeing maybe initially 1,000 a year, we saw up in the 2,000 odd community service orders being handed down just before the pandemic. And now, obviously with the pandemic, there was a dip, but we are now seeing more people committed to prison on short-term sentences than we are seeing community service orders in the, you know, the most recent data that we have, which is the annual reports from 2022. But what we aren't seeing is the reasons why judges aren't handing out community service orders. And if you look at the end of the probation service annual report for 2022, there's a map, and you can see in some areas it's been used, you know, very regularly, and in other places it isn't really used at all. And, you know, there are questions around that. And in fairness, the probation services, you know, they have carried out research into this, and they're looking at the reasons why. But like in 2022, only 1,200 community service orders were handed down, whereas like 3,000 people were sentenced to sentences of 12 months or less. So there is an issue there. But what we would like to see in Scotland, for example, judges have to give reasons why they decided that prison was more appropriate or going to be more effective than community service. And I think if judges had to reflect on that and give reasons why, then we might start seeing a shift in that. The other pieces are on investment in the probation service. Like, you know, right across the public sector, and I think in a lot of sectors, there's staffing and recruitment and retention issues. And we know that for the probation service, like there is an issue in recruiting social workers at the moment. So they presented their plan last week. They have other ways that they are trying to recruit people to their service and free up staff to actually focus on this. But they do need the appropriate resources. And again, I mentioned there is government policy there to try and reduce the number of people going to prison for a year or less. And I would say we need to invest more in the probation service and focus less on prison expansion if we really want to reduce numbers and have safer societies.
Saoirse, is tagging an option now or curfews for people if they don't go to prison?
The issue with tagging, so tagging isn't used here currently. I think it was used previously as a pilot. But part of the issue with tagging is, and everyone thinks that this is, you know, potentially an alternative. What the international research would show where people have used it in other jurisdictions is that it can widen the net. So people who, you know, wouldn't end up in the criminal justice system might end up with a tag on their leg instead and then be brought into it that way. But the big thing is, who's going to actually supervise it? Like, there's this idea that you put a tag on someone, if they commit an offence, we're going to know straight away in real time. That's not the reality, because is it probation? Is it the guards? They're both services are already overstretched. And it's not going to be in real time. So you may not actually prevent an offence from being committed. One of the other things, though, I think that would be effective, that is a more, I think, effective alternative and more kind of person-centred and has been demonstrated to be effective, is bail supervision. So this is where someone, you know, comes before a judge. And we have it here for the youth justice system, but we don't have it for the adult. But they are looking at bringing this in, I think, on a pilot scheme for women in the criminal justice system. And again, they've done it very effectively in Scotland for 18 to 24-year-olds and women. But this is where a judge has the option open to them to hand on bail supervision and put somebody into that programme. So for the youth justice sector, what happens then is there is a team of people. They assess the young person and they look at their likelihood to reoffend. Again, they look at what issues might be behind this. Are there behavioural issues? Are there addiction issues? Are there, you know, a lack of family support? All of those things. And the young person remains in their home and all the therapeutic supports go in to the home and work very intensively with that young person for about 3 to 5 months. There's two different schemes, but I'll focus on this one. And what they also do is put in place parenting programs for their parents to support them, because very often the parents just don't know what to do with this young person anymore. They may have, you know, stopped going to school. Like, we've heard success stories of where a young person who had a list of offences against their name was put into the bail supervision scheme, went home, re-engaged with education, got glowing praise from their principal. Their parents engaged in parenting support. That also helped them with their siblings who were already starting to go down a similar route. And those the siblings ended up in youth work programs instead. And then the mum in that case had never worked before, and she found it very hard to balance parenting and work. But she ended up going back to work. You know, and it just changed the whole trajectory of that young person's life and their siblings and their parents. And, you know, it is costly, but it's less costly than sending people to prison time after time. And, you know, I suppose one of the other things when you're talking about alternatives is investment in community supports before people reach crisis point. There was another piece of government policy, that came out of the last programme for government. So it was a high-level task force set up to look at mental health and addiction challenges for people in the criminal justice system. And it was chaired by former Minister of State Kathleen Lynch. And it put forward quite a number of really pragmatic and well-thought-out and evidence-informed solutions on how you deal with that. Because let's face it, like, the majority of people within the prison estate have some sort of mental health issue when they go in, or certainly if they don't, it impacts on their well-being so much, particularly in current conditions, that they do require support. People very often also have an addiction issue, and that isn't, you know, we're not seeing that being dealt with effectively across the prison estate because of lack of resources. There are waiting lists for all of these things. So if you go to prison for a very short sentence, for a few months, you'll be on a waiting list until you come out, and you will never have seen anybody, and you go out without having received any, you know, support. Also, there isn't that link between the prison that if you did happen to access support in the prison, it's not necessarily that you will be able to access the same support in the community. So, you know, there are really practical things that could be done here that would really support people, help them deal with the issues that they might have and the challenges they might have, and help them turn their lives around.
Yeah, Saoirse, we do have to leave it there. But thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Saoirse Brady there, Executive Director of the Irish Penal Reform Trust. A lot of reactions to that. Not all of them sympathetic. One texter says, we should have a lot more in prison. For God's sake, will you listen to those bleeding hearts? Sharing toilets and sharing cells. Good enough for them, says Barry in Dublin. Another texter feels that community service is a waste of time. If you're not put in prison for a minor crime and instead sent to community service, you're basically getting a slap on the wrist. Groups like this used to think of the victims and their families. Lots of people mention victims, all right. David says he's playing a tiny violin for these poor prisoners in overcrowded prisons. What's always missing in these conversations is the victims. I fail to see what that means, though, thinking of the victims. I mean, there is increasingly a practice in court where there's a victim impact statement, that there are various supports, probably not enough, but there are supports provided to victims. But so are you implying that the victims get to say what the punishment should be? Because then that's not a justice system. That's just a system of revenge. Because if any of us feel wrong, if somebody cuts in front of you when you're driving to work, you might want to have them strung up and, you know, that wouldn't be a great system. I was the victim of an assault a decade ago. The man who attacked me wasn't sent to prison. I can't explain the heartbreak every time I see him walk down the street. He got off scot-free for what he did to me. I'm the one left with the trauma. Martin says, could the system not tag people, tying them down to a tight area? Well, yeah, you heard what Saoirse had to say about that, that requires a certain amount of person power, I should say. And those resources do not exist at the moment. In fact, the resources don't exist to keep going what we have at the moment. Someone else says, here's an idea for prisoners. Hard labour. Yes, make them build stuff. That'll sort them out. I understand this policy and would accept it on the condition that if they reoffend within, say, 10 years, the sentence is much harsher. That's an interesting idea. Barbara says, my son went to prison and the group of men he met inside made him way worse than he was when he went in. It changed him as a person. We need to remember the environments we are sending people into, not excusing what he did, but anything would have been better than prison for him. Someone else says, there's a prison in the US that made all their prisoners take part in education while serving their sentence as part of a pilot program. Not sure the percentage, but I know the number of them that completed their studies didn't reoffend. I saw a CNN piece about it. Someone else says, all the TV licensed dodgers in prison get to watch TV prison TV for free. That's not right. You might as well release them now and free up some space for the people that don't pay their dog poo fines. Now they should get life without parole. That's a controversial set of views there. I don't know if they have Sky in prison or is it just like your bog standard service? Who knows? Surely AI or some smart fellow with a computer could govern the tagging system. Perhaps you may well be right, but I suppose, you know, you're trusting an AI to do those things and they aren't always that reliable. John, who's in Cork, says, I cannot believe what I'm listening to. This is all about the rights of the criminal. Probation is a joke. Commit more crimes on bail, concurrent, not consecutive sentences. The public needs to be protected from habitual criminals. People making a once-off crime need support, but the public need to be protected. Our cities have become unsafe as they're now unafraid to commit crime as there are no consequences. Most get the Probation Act, says John. I don't know, John, if that's true even at all. But I suppose the point is there is that there's a huge proportion of people, around 20%, who were on remand. They haven't even been found guilty of anything yet. And another huge proportion of people who are in there for, you know, between 6 and 12 months, therefore, in most cases, would be deemed to be not a particularly serious crime. And as that previous person who texted in said, oftentimes you send them in there for a not so serious crime and they come out way worse, because prison is the wrong environment for them. Because I suppose as much as it might stick in our craws sometimes, the point seems to be to try and produce a system where we're reducing the amount of offending that goes on rather than increasing it. Martin says, obviously tagging needs resources just like CCTV tech, etc. But surely it involves less resources than prison, especially for minor enough crimes. Well, as you heard there, it does require a certain amount of resources, but at the moment, everybody we send to prison costs us, the taxpayer, 85 grand a year. And the more you send them to prison, the more likely they are to reoffend. Therefore, that's more 85 grand a year. Another texter says, oh, this is interesting. I've worked in community services with former prisoners. You can always tell from the outset the ones who are serious about changing their life and the ones who are just about getting back out in the streets. I have tried and failed many times to give young men opportunities, but they don't take it up. 6 months later, they're back in prison. And sadly, I'm sure that's the case. I mean, because, you know, in these kind of discussions, we are speaking in generalities, in the sense that, you know, there's no surefire way of making sure somebody never commits a crime again. And is your guest suggesting that we need that we speed up our prison revolving door? Gardaí would really love the extra workload, rearresting them when they reoffend. Success stories are few and far between. Huge amounts of reoffenders, says Deck. Well, you're right. The success stories are few and far between. But why is that? Why aren't we doing something else, perhaps, so we could perhaps have a few more success stories? Why don't we look a bit more to what they do in other countries to see is the right, is just sending people back to prison or having bigger prisons the answer here? Barry says, so no to using technology, i.e. tagging, but yes to bail supervision. Christ almighty, does your contributor understand there are people across the island screaming at their radios with this liberal rubbish? Well, you're screaming at the radio, obviously, Barry. You're taking on a bit of a responsibility there, speaking on behalf of everybody else. Tony says, what about the cost of not taking these repeat offenders off the streets? Garda time, court time, legal aid, damage to property, security, injuries to victims, damage to property, etc. Well, the thing is, if somebody's committed a crime and then they've, you know, been and they go to prison, what happens then at the end of that? You know, they do their year or their 2 years and they're put back in the street again. You can't arrest somebody on the possibility that they might commit another crime. But at the same time, if us as a society has done absolutely nothing to try and make that person not reoffend, then to a degree, our society is to blame for that, because we let them out of prison knowing damn well they do it again. I know a young person who did something stupid and was caught, says this texter. Everybody agreed that they made a mistake and they were very sorry. The case was struck out, but a court reporter put the story in the paper and online printing the offender's name and address. They got fired from the job, can't work, can't get more work because of the online presence of their name. Somebody else says there should be more empathy education in schools so that young people grow up respecting their fellow citizens. Then there would be less crime, because all crime is a result of perps not caring about the effects on their victims. You can, Christ, says Barry, Barry's back on again. Christ, you can put a tracker on a kid's phone and see where they are all day. Technology is there to keep people in a confined area. If they go outside the area, straight to jail, easy. But I suppose, well, the point that Saoirse Brady was making was that you need people then to be looking at all these phones, which might be equal to the amount of offenders you have with those phones. Plus also, crikey, if you have a brain, you go, right, you pay somebody to carry your phone for the day while you go off and rob shops and all the rest of it.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.